Welcome to another episode of a News You Can Use podcast. My name is Frenchair Gardner, the host of the podcast. I'm here broadcasting live in Dallas, Texas with Meichi Ebo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, so I met Meichi this past October at a SMU homecoming party, and he was just telling me about, he just was so interesting. Like, you don't see very many Black English guys, like, in Dallas, you know? So, it was really cool, checking out his accent and listening to, he was just so interesting. So, I just told him, I was like, I gotta invite you to my podcast so you can talk about your travels and your life, your world's, your world wanderlust. Go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, thank you for the nice introduction, and it was nice to meet you too at that homecoming. Yes, my name is Meichi Ebo. My full name is Onye Meichi Ebo, but everyone calls me Meichi for short. And yes, I have been to a number of places over the years, and I guess you don't think about it when you do these things, but of course, over time, you accumulate a lot of experience and a lot of relationships with people over the time you travel. So I think it's always nice to share it. So I'm actually quite privileged at giving the opportunity to talk about it.
Yes.
So my story really starts from childhood. I was originally born in the UK, Manchester, the northwest of England. If you know England very well, it's a quite cool city. It's a well-known football city. Mm-hmm. My father moved to the UK in the early 60s from Nigeria. My father is an Igbo, from the Igbo land in Nigeria, the southeast part of Nigeria, and he was one of the very first in his town at the time to move abroad to study. Mm-hmm. He became a civil engineer, and my mom came over a couple years later. So you can argue that the travel was instilled in me from birth, because my parents were the first travelers in the family, if you like. So I spent my early childhood in Manchester. My father being an engineer, had a number of job offers around the world. One of the ones he took was the one to go back to Nigeria and work with a company there. Mm-hmm. So we followed, actually, maybe a few years after he left. So when I was about 6 years old, that was my first time traveling to another country. This time was my country of origin, in terms of my parents' country of origin, which is Nigeria.
Yes.
I spent 13 years there. I always argue that it's probably the most important 13 years of my life, because mm-hmm. I was able to go back to my roots, so to speak, and
yes,
my grandparents and all my relatives. And I walked the same soil that my great-great-great-grandfathers walked. And that
beautiful.
Was obviously a huge experience for me as a young man growing up. But Nigeria, if you know much about Nigeria, is a vast country. The 80s and early 90s was quite a tricky period in Nigeria's history due to all the political instability, and there's a lot going on. So our parents were very much of the opinion, hey, you were born in the UK, you know, once you come of age, you want to go back to England and see the world, that's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
So the day after my 19th birthday, I moved back to England.
Okay.
Originally to go and study. I was going to want to become a lawyer, believe it or not. That was my initial plans.
Mine too.
Yeah, well, there you go. But actually, during when I got back to the UK, and I was just, you know, I was living with my sister at the time. We were, we were waiting for the semester to start. So I was, you know, looking at schools and just exploring my options.
Mm-hmm.
But I came across a company that gave me an opportunity to progress into management. It was a sales organization that offered training. But the most appealing thing for me, that it was a global business, and they had opportunities to travel.
Okay.
So I decided to ditch my plans. Didn't go down very well. I can imagine my sister, who's a professor, believe it or not. So you can imagine living with a professor and tell her, you're not going to go and do that. You're going to go and join some company instead. You can be rest assured she was not best pleased. But
right.
It was my decision. Mm-hmm. I did decide to do that. I did set up my own company less than 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my journey. Because by having my own business and being able to, you know, determine my own fate, if you like, in terms of where I worked, where I could take my business, I was able to then take advantage of the opportunities are available. So I spent a number of years in the UK, bouncing around different parts of England. You know, I worked in Birmingham, I worked in Leeds, I moved back to Manchester, my home city.
Yes.
Worked in London for a short period of time. But then the first big travel came when I moved to Egypt. What happened was I was working with a number of people. One of my colleagues, he had moved to India a number of years earlier. And we had a number of clients. I was working for marketing, to give you a bit of context, I was working for a marketing group that had international clients. So they were often, you know, we would often move to different countries and help them expand their programs or their campaigns in those countries. So we had a client in India that wanted to go to the Middle East and open up the Middle East market. It was actually a pay TV company. And then they wanted to go to North Africa because they wanted to really get to the Arabian market. And of course, Egypt is the largest Arab country population-wise, you know, 70 million Egyptians, so it was a big market. So they asked me if I was interested. Of course, I had that interest anyway. So I ended up going to Egypt for a short period of time, spent some time there, wonderful country. And I always, you know, people always ask me, what's Egypt like? It's hard to tell that in a sentence, really, because it's got such deep history. But the overriding feeling I left with was the warmth of the people, and how much they took me in and really, really, you know, made me feel at home. I felt completely safe amongst them. And the history, of course, is there. I mean, I remember I used to go to the supermarket and we used to drive past the pyramids on the way to the supermarket. There's a place called Giza, and there's a big supermarket called Carrefour, which is a huge French group.
Okay.
And on the way, you can literally, if you look on the left, you can see the pyramids on your way. That's so lovely. It was a great experience, and I had a wonderful time. Unfortunately, the campaign didn't last long term, so we ended up moving back to the UK. And then I ended up going to Turkey for a short period of time because we thought we might move to Istanbul, another great city, another historic city. Again, you know, the people were fantastic. And I guess, you know, one of the biggest things I've learned from traveling, and I've been to, you know, I think last count maybe about 35 different countries around the world. But, you know, these ones I spent a bit of time, and I spent, you know, just under, you know, 6 or 7 months in Egypt. You know, I spent a bit of time in Turkey. But one of the things I've always taken from those countries is the warmth of the people. And there's a real separation between what we often hear in the media or even how our countries government operates to how the actual people are. And what you often find universally, people are decent, and universally people are warm and welcoming, and they will give you their last bit if they can, especially if you're not from there. Especially as long as you show respect for their culture and you try to integrate yourself and have an appreciation for who they are and what they offer and what they bring, it's reciprocal, really. And so that was the same when I went to Turkey. I had a wonderful time in Istanbul. Then eventually I moved from, you know, that again was a short, that was always going to be a short term stay. And then I moved back to the UK and opportunity come to go to Germany. So I ended up going to Germany and I spent 7 years in Germany. That was probably when I look back now, again, besides growing up in Nigeria, that my formative years in Nigeria, that was a really profound time in my life because some of the things happened to me while I was in Germany. I learned to speak German. I'm not as fluent as I used to be, but I can still, you know, give me a few beers and I think my German becomes very fluent once again. But generally speaking, it's not as grammatical. German is quite a tough language to learn. So if you don't have the grammars right, you can sometimes get lost a little bit. But I'm still okay with it. But I had a great time in Germany. I lived in most of the big cities. I lived in Munich for a while, which is south part of Germany. I lived in Dusseldorf, which is in the northwest. I lived in Cologne, which is a great city, my favorite city. I spent 3 years there. It's discovered by the Romans. It's a very old city in Germany, and I might be the second oldest city in Germany. And I spent time in another place called Essen, which is just in the region as well. The North Rhine-Westphalia is like the northwest of Germany by the Rhine River, which is the big river that runs across Germany.
Okay.
It's the most densely populated part of the country, like 18, 20 million people live in this really small part of Germany.
Wow.
So it's a fascinating place because they also have all these very unique little towns and they all have their own history. They have all these, you know, carnivals and festivals, and it's a really remarkable place. But so I spent a bit of time there, but it was also very challenging, you know, and I guess, you know, it's easy to talk about travel and of course you know, everyone talks about the glamour of travel, you know, flying around exotic places, and there's lots of that, but there's also challenges. You know, when you live in a different country, you have to learn their culture, you have to learn the language in some cases. That's not always easy,
right?
Especially as an adult, you have to learn to survive there. You know, you have to learn to live without your closest friends and family all the time. Everyone's 5,000 miles away.
Yes.
So those things, you know, present challenges of their own. But they also develop your skill sets, and they also make you, I think, more resilient. I think they give you a better understanding of other people. I think you have a lot more empathy when you travel because you realize that for the most part, you're at the mercy of others. You know, you're at the mercy of other people. You know, you need to run other people who don't know you to trust you, who don't know you to look after you or to help you or to guide you in different ways. So the big lesson you get from traveling, I think, especially is just your appreciation of people. I think it grows tremendously. And also, of course, you learn about history and you learn about other ways of life, other methods of doing things, other approaches to doing things. But most importantly, learn about yourself. You really do. You discover who you truly are when you travel. So I spent 7 years in Germany. It was a great time. You know, I ran a business there for many years. So of course, I did a lot of strong relationships in my time there. But like I said, the most important thing was it was a time when, you know, I lost my sister when I was living in Germany. Unfortunately. But my father as well. That 7 years is a long time.
So yes, it is.
Things can happen. But of course, going back to the challenges, you know, in that period of time, I had to discover some inner strength and of course in that fortitude, mental fortitude you need sometimes to get through situations. So it was a very, very interesting time for me. But again, some great experiences. You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, one thing here or there, but there were so many things that I experienced when in not just in generally traveling.
Yes.
You know, the great cities, you know, I discovered, you know, the Budapest, Istanbul's, the Berlin's of this world, the Egypt's, the Cairo's, the Alexandria's, you know, so many places. You know, I spent some time in the Middle East, in Dubai, in the UAE, and that was pretty fascinating. Abu Dhabi, you know, you go to all these different places and you sometimes hear about them and you think, you know, but we get, they're just like everywhere else, you know. I remember going to Turkey, Istanbul, and one of the guys, I went to an English school I was looking for an office space. This one helped me speak a bit of Turkish, right?
Okay.
So I went to this English school and I met this girl called Didem, and it was snowing in Istanbul, so it's like 3 foot snow.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't move around. So there were not a lot of students in the class. So, you know, I'll take you around and I'll take you, you know, all over Istanbul. You can look at some office space and whatever.
Okay.
And I thought, I'll just pay for the day, you know, whatever your daily fee is, I'll cover that, no problem.
Yes.
She ended up being my tour guide for the whole week.
Oh, wow.
Didn't take a penny. Refused to take a penny. Said he helped improve her own English and whatever.
Nice.
But one of the interesting things was we went to this restaurant and they had this football banners of Turkey, a huge soccer here, you call it, a huge soccer country. And my brother-in-law, my late brother-in-law, was a footballer in Nigeria. And my sister, he had a teammate that ended up going to Turkey and playing for this big team called Fenerbahce. And I knew this, of course, and I knew he was in Fenerbahce. He was a great famous player in Turkey. So when I got there, I saw this banner with the Fenerbahce but you know, the logo, the, you know, yes, the master. I'm like, hey, you guys, for the badge, like, yeah, I'm like, Uche, right? They're like, who's Uche? I'm like, you know, they're like, Uche? I'm like, yeah, Uche. So I know Uche, right? Because I did know him quite well.
Yeah.
Because he used to live underneath my brother-in-law. They used to the football.
Yeah.
So I used to go hang out with him when I was a kid.
Okay.
And he was a total huge legend. It's like walking to that same road, you know, Troy Aikman or Michael Irvin, right?
Yes.
People like, wow. Anyway, like, they would not let me pay.
Oh.
Like, they said, come back anytime and eat for free. Which is friend is our friend. It was a phenomenal day. And then eventually, you're African, I'll take you to this African club. I'm like, African club?
What?
We're not going to this place. I walked in, and it was a full-blown African nightclub in the middle of Istanbul. Yeah, it was just the most, like, and it was French-African as well. So it was all this French music playing, and it was
nice,
fascinating, you know, a great time. And you know, I know I can speak French. I don't speak French. You know, I know a few words here and there.
Yeah.
But you didn't need to. It was just the vibe. It was just an amazing night. You know, and you know, and that was the middle of Istanbul. You know,
right.
You know. So I've had so many experiences like that. It doesn't always have to involve, you know, partying and you know, things like that. But I've also had somewhere I've discovered. You know, I went to a museum in Budapest that was fascinating. You know, so there's so many things like that. I think that you can't always articulate. You know, you can't always. It's hard to tell every story and every experience. But yeah, had a wonderful time there. And then after my 7 years in gym, I moved back to the UK once again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the opportunity to come to the United States initially to just oversee some marketing campaigns. One of my roles in my career has been training, developing people, you know, coaching, developing, you know, people. And there was a campaign where they needed someone to oversee the campaigns that came initially.
Mm-hmm.
It went so well, they asked me to come back, which I did, and eventually, that if I wanted to move, you know, permanently, which I accepted, and then I moved over here, 2013, just before Christmas.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since, and you know, I'm very proud to say that last year I became an American citizen.
Nice.
So I am now here to stay for sure. I think my travels, in terms of moving countries, at least, are over. I think I'm here to stay. But I still travel a lot.
Yes.
And I still want to keep traveling. And also think not just traveling to different countries, but also think it's important to travel within your own country and learn more about your own. Because this is a great country. You know, one of the greatest countries in the world. And in terms of you know, economically, but just also the landscape. You
yes.
know, it's phenomenal. So there's a lot to learn here and a lot to see here too. So yeah, travel's been a huge part of my life. You know, if I have any advice to anybody aspiring, young people, young entrepreneurs, anybody for that matter,
yes.
I would say, you know, travel as much as you can. Take every opportunity you have to try and go and see the world. The world's a beautiful place. There's so much to see. I mean, I say so much to see.
Yes.
And I still have huge aspirations to keep traveling. My goal is maybe get to 100 countries one day.
Nice.
In my life. You know, I'm going back. I'm going to Australia in January to see a friend of mine.
Okay.
And I have a few trips lined up next year as well. Because I think that once you catch the bug, I think you can't let go, really. Because and also in my case, one of the things that benefits of traveling so much internationally, and in my case, living in countries internationally, is that you cultivate very strong relationships. So you have friends who are international.
Right.
You know, last summer I spent a month cycling through Switzerland, the Alps, the mountains, with a good friend of mine who lives in Switzerland. And, you know, me and Rob go back way back in England, you know, when I was in Leeds. One of my great, great friends, we lost contact for a while, but we have these great relationships. People, you know, want to reconnect, you know, reconnecting. And then we, I cycle a lot. So he said, let's do some cycling. We ended up doing, I'm not joking, we did about 330 miles.
Oh my God.
8,000 meters.
Oh my God.
Six cities.
That's amazing.
Across the mountains. It was one of the most incredible experiences that I've ever had. That was just last August, you know. Now I want to make it a yearly thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it was such a good experience. But once again, I'm not trying to name drop places or anything like that, but there's so much out there to see, and there's so much one can experience and gain from traveling. So I don't know if that, you know, covers my entire story, but
yeah,
certainly I would recommend anybody to that has the opportunity to do so. And also, if the opportunity doesn't present itself immediately, you know, look for opportunities, you know, mm-hmm. look for reasons to travel, because it's life-changing. It certainly is.
You just made my day, for real. Man, I just can't wait to get out there and travel myself. I've only been out to Mexico so far, but I'm ready to get those stamps on my passport and just experience the world, because, you know, just as you've stated, there's just so much to see, experience, so many people to meet and to grow and learn from. And so I'm just so grateful that you came on the show and just shared your travel experiences with us. It just really enriched us today. And so I really just appreciate you, Meiji.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always good to share your experiences. It's always good to feel appreciated as well. But that's been a great experience for me. First time, I must say. So it's a new experience. You know, talking about yourself is always a little tricky.
Sometimes.
It can be, especially for it's for me anyway. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm really glad I was able to share this. I mean, if this inspires even one person to say, you know what, I'm going to try and do something myself, then that's great. And I did this when I was very young. I didn't have a lot of experience. I was, you know, 20, my 20s when I first started traveling. So mm-hmm. you don't have to wait and wait and wait. And the best time is now. That's what I would say. So, yeah, you know, good luck to everybody.
Yes, get your travel on. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the News and Use podcast. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts. And we are just grateful for you. And oh, yeah, connect with us on Instagram @FrenchAirGardner. And until next time, peace.